Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 10th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the president says the Senate has better ideas than the House when it comes to energy. There are new predictions that cellulosic ethanol is on the short-term horizon, and Stauffer Seeds is no more. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many other ag news stories. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, we'll hear an update of harvest conditions and progress in the Western Corn Belt. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Spend more time harvesting and less time pledging. WillPledge.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. In the nearby wheat futures, December contract, an 853 settlement price, it finished 7.5 cents higher today. March contract at 868.5, up a dime. And the May wheat, 813, up 13. July next year at 665.75. 5.25 higher. December futures in the corn pit at 347.25, up 4.75. The March futures at 364.25, up 4.75. For the corn and the May contract at 374.25, a nickel higher. December corn next year up 4.25 cents at 397.25. November bean futures, $9.68.25, 18 higher. January futures up 18 cents at 986.75. And the March contract at 998.25, up 17.75. Next year's Noves at 945.5 for 2008, up 9.75. October bean meal futures at 268.80, up 550. December bean meal at 274.90, up 580 for the day. October bean oil futures 38.90, settlement price there up 45. December futures up 48 at 39.47. October live cattle now. From the Mercantile Exchange, $94.10, the hundredweight, 20 cents higher. December futures up 12.5 at 96.62.5. October feeder cattle at 113.20, a nickel lower. November futures down 17.5 at 113.7.5. Lean hog futures finished the Octobers at 57.37.5, a dime lower. December futures were up a nickel at 59.77.5. From the outside markets, November crude at 81.30, $1.04 a barrel higher. December futures up 66 at $80.20. The Dow now stands at 14,062. It's down just about 102 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us to take a look at the agricultural markets and the futures in Chicago, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Big couple of days for the bean pit, up, 24 or 5 cents yesterday, another 18 cents to the gain today.
Yeah, I was listening to WILL driving through north central Illinois, visiting people and out looking at corn and soybean and talking to people, and enjoyed your comments. There's still a lot of beans and corn to harvest, particularly north of Crescent City to Kankakee. You know, there's a lot of corn yet to and soybeans to harvest. Yield's pretty good all over, and I think the USDA will have a bigger production estimate both on corn and soybeans. My feeling as of today.
So when you're talking about the comments, you're talking about the lack of yield after the percent moisture dropped? Is that what you mean?
Well, I listened to your point there, and, my impression is that a lot of people, have to readjust their yield monitors to take advantage of some of that. My impression is that when we look at the test weight, the test weights are great. you know, and actually went up. And, you know, all the old characteristics of major yield drops of as a result of the warmer temperatures and things like that, I think was minimal. And also the comments about the satellite imagery, you know, we downgrade that a little bit. We're just picking up just too good of corn yields and bean yields in the Midwest to say that the crop is smaller, in my opinion.
Well, there are a number of folks that I think, I don't know about disagreeing on the corn, but on the beans, they really seem to be leaning towards the idea that USDA will potentially lower the bean crop. You think that might be the case?
No, I don't. I think the bean crop is excellent, and when I call Nebraska, the people tell me, hey, it's a lot of 60-bushel beans. We don't hear the word 50 used. We talk to Minnesota. We talk to the Iowa people. We also, you know, we just think it's a bigger crop, and I'd be surprised if it's not larger than 41.5. The reason I say that is the F.C. Stone people agrees it's a bigger crop.
Mm-hmm.
The Informer people agree that it's a bigger crop, and I agree that it, you know, my contacts say it's a bigger crop, and I think that a little of this was a little bit of funds. The farmers are extremely strong holders of these high-priced corn and soybeans based on the dollar and just based on the idea that there's bullish fundamentals out there. I think they're taking a big chance, but that's the name of the game in this modern day of business.
Well, they take the chance. Paul Cooley, you're taking the chance to the downside. Are you a
willing
seller?
Well, the thing that I look at is that when we talk about $200 200 bushels to the acre, Todd, plus, you know, a few weeks ago of locking in those July futures above 410 and the beans above 1010, 50, 60-bushel beans that we're picking up pretty prevalently in the Midwest. A person, yes, does need storage to get those higher price levels, you know, on a hedge to arrive. Be a little creative in your marketing, but, you know, the big... big yields, big prices have always had a tendency of being, you know, wonderful ways to reward and put added income into the man's pocket.
Mm-hmm. So where are you going to be a seller at now?
Well, I think I'm sold out. I'm looking for a place to buy back at cheaper levels, and I believe in what I say. I don't hedge. You know, I go up to the bat and swing, and, you know, the plate and swing, and I'd be out with these bigger price levels.
So
I think the yields are going to prove it. Now, if a person, in my opinion, from a speculative point of view, is bullish because of the dollar, there's gold futures and silver futures, and also you can also sell the dollar. But as far as owning corn and soybeans based on the weak dollar, I'd play another game at this time.
So if you're not Paul Cooley and you don't have everything sold, would you go ahead and market it? Is the question?
My hunch is that we will see bigger production estimates, and hopefully people took advantage of those prices a week ago to do their necessary marketing. When our sense also is that you know, they're definitely. The harvest is moving rapidly forward, but we have a big job to do if we do come up with this 158 to 160 bushel price level of actually putting it into the marketplace. And weather seems to be improving in Australia. It seems to be improving in Brazil. And this kind of an opportunity to a farmer with these bigger yields and bigger prices only occur, you know, just once in 10 years, so to speak.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Have a profitable day and always enjoy your broadcast.
Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will join us for a complete look Now, the agricultural weather forecaster, Owen Ed Kieser, says tonight across the two-state region, in the north and in central sections of Indiana, cloudy, some scattered showers in central and southeastern Illinois. In southern Indiana, mostly cloudy, and southwestern Illinois, partly cloudy. Lows, says Ed, this evening in the 40s. Tomorrow in western Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. In eastern Illinois and across Indiana, mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers in Indiana. Highs will range from 55 in the north to 63 in the far south. The extended forecast, dry weather expected Friday through Sunday. Periodic showers will likely occur next week. High pressure should build in Friday night. Clear sky and light winds will lead to temperatures dropping into the middle to upper 30s in many locations. A touch of frost possible in typically cooler locations early on Saturday morning. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
A U.S. Energy Department official says the Bush administration prefers several sections of the Senate energy measure over the House version. House and Senate energy bill conferees are set to meet soon. Deputy Energy Secretary Clay Sell says the Senate approach to increasing fuel efficiency standards for cars, light trucks, and SUVs is similar to President Bush's proposal. Sell also says a Senate-passed biofuels production mandate is, in his words, the basis of a very good bill. Yesterday, the Energy Department issued its final rule for its loan guarantee program on next-generation renewable fuels. It will cover up to 100% for loans for cellulosic ethanol plants on 80% of overall construction cost. Renewable fuels spokesperson Matt Hartwig.
You are going to see cellulosic ethanol technology develop much sooner than conventional wisdom suggests. Most people say, you know, we're looking at 5 or 6 years down the road. You know, certainly there are those in our industry who are far more optimistic that we will see at least that first plant or first couple of plants come online in the next, you know, 2 to 3, maybe 4 years.
The Energy Department has already invited 16 entities to apply for loan support. The firm which produces Stauffer seeds has closed its doors. Lahan Midwest was plagued by numerous financial setbacks over its cottonseed division, as well as a drop in soybean sales. Lahan had hoped to sell its profitable Stauffer seeds division, but could not reach terms with a buyer. South Korea and the U.S. will hold 2 days of beef talks beginning Thursday. The discussions in Seoul will focus on South Korea's stoppage of U.S. beef imports last week because inspections found banned spinal material. The U.S. delegation is expected to ask Seoul to remove all restrictions on U.S. beef. A bipartisan group of representatives, including Barron Hill of Indiana, have introduced a bill to create a stable domestic market for biodiesel. The measure would dedicate a small portion of the nation's 60 billion gallon diesel pool to biodiesel and other bio-based replacement diesel fuels, from 450 million gallons in 2008 to 1.25 billion gallons in 2012. The latest AFBF Market Basket Survey says consumers paid a little more for groceries in the third quarter of 2007. The survey of 16 basic grocery items shows a 2% increase for July through September. Compared with prices a year ago, consumers are paying about 7% more. The biggest increase in the latest survey is the price for regular whole milk, up 48 cents. And the world record for soybean production is now 154 bushels to the acre. Southwest Missouri producer Kip Cullors broke his own record of 139 bushels set last year. And he says he did it despite less than ideal growing conditions.
I was a little bit nervous when I was cutting them, but when we went and weighed them, you know, it was, you know, 154 bushels. It was pretty amazing, but the plant health on was just excellent.
Cullors says he thinks he might eventually get to 200 bushels an acre as the genetics improve and he's able to keep the crop in optimal health for the entire season. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL Radio Stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, asking you to tune in to the station tomorrow morning between 7 and 8 o'clock. During the Power Hour, your opportunity to say agriculture rocks on AM 580 by pledging your financial support to the station. The Power Hour is between 7 and 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Get ready to dial the numbers they ask you to between 7 and 8. Just tune into the station and please pledge your financial support and be kind. Ag rocks on AM 580. On the subject of ag rocking, farmers have been rocking through the field pretty quickly this year. Harvest season for corn is now 42% of the way done. That's well ahead of the 30% rolling five-year average and 27% of the corn crop that had been harvested by the same time last year. Once again, 42% of the nation's corn crop is now in the bin. About half of the nation's bean crop, actually 50% of the bean crop, is in the bin this year. That's ahead of schedule, too, the rolling five-year average at 45%. And last year, 43% of the soybeans had been harvested. Winter wheat seedings are lagging just a bit. 66% of the crop is normally in the ground at this time. Last year, 65% were in the ground. This year, 58% of the wheat has been seeded. No word on whether that's just because there are more wheat acres or farmers are really lagging behind just a bit in their seeding progress. Wheat emerge now stands at 29%, the rolling five-year average, 36%. Last year, 34% of the wheat was up and out of the ground at this time. Now, here's an update on conditions in the Western Corn Belt.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending October 7th, 2007. Iowa farmers are harvesting around rain showers. Rain is keeping bean stems wet and difficult to come by. Many farmers are starting to harvest corn, which has dried well, while they wait for soybeans to dry again. Hail damaged some crops in Ida and Plymouth counties. The warm days and moisture aided pasture conditions. The temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 12.3 degrees above normal. The statewide average precipitation was 1.71 inches, or more than double the weekly normal of 0.72 inches. There were 4 days suitable for field work here in Iowa, compared to 6.4 days a year ago. Topsoil moisture rated 2% very short or short, 73% adequate, and 25% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 5% very short or short, 77% adequate, and 18% surplus. 22% of the corn has been harvested in Iowa, 6 percentage points ahead of both last year's percentage and the five-year average. Statewide, the percent moisture of corn in field is 20%, with harvested corn moisture averaging 17%. The corn condition rated 8% very poor or poor, 19% fair, and 73% good or excellent. 53% of Iowa's soybeans have been harvested, 4 percentage points behind last year's harvest at this time, and 1 percentage point behind the 5-year average. Iowa soybean condition rated 5% very poor or poor, 19% fair, and 76% good or excellent. This has been Joe Prusaki from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending October 7, 2007.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 7, 2007. Corn conditions rated 79% good or excellent, well above last year's 54% rating. Corn harvested was 28%, 1 week ahead of last year's 17 and 5 days ahead of the 13 average. Soybean conditions rated 80% good or excellent, well above last year's 62% condition. Soybeans harvested was 34%, 2 days behind last year's 44 and 4 days behind the 48 average. Sorghum conditions rated 84% good or excellent, well above last year's 56%. Sorghum harvested was 11%, behind last year's 14 and 20 average. Winter wheat seeded was 91%, ahead of last year's 89 and even with the 5-year average. Winter wheat emerged was 66%, ahead of last year's 62, but behind the 68 average. Pasture and range conditions rated 57% good or excellent, well above last year's 16%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwick, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending October 7, 2007. 1/3 of Minnesota's soybean crop was harvested this past week, despite interruptions from bouts of precipitation. Harvest progress for both corn and soybeans remained ahead of the five-year average pace, despite rains that left 22% of the state's topsoil moisture supplies rated as surplus. However, with the recent rains, sugar beet conditions declined, while pasture conditions were noticeably improved. The average temperature for the week was 61.5 degrees, 9.9 degrees above normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 2% very short, 10% short, 66% adequate, and 22% surplus. As of Sunday, October 7th, 25% of the corn for grain was harvested and averaged 20% moisture, compared to 10% harvested at 23% for the five-year average. 74% of soybeans were harvested, compared to 50% for the average. Soybeans harvested averaged 12% moisture. As of Friday, October 5th, 46% of the field corn and 57% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. 58% of the sugar beets, 65% of the sunflowers, and 45% of the pasture were rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending October 7th, 2007. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time now to take a look at what happens in the cash grain market. Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joining us this afternoon. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
How far are your farmers along now for harvest?
We are ahead of the state average for Indiana. There, the government shows us at 44%. I'd say we're probably maybe pretty close to two-thirds done here in corn, and they've got us at about 49% in beans. We may be a little bit ahead of that. Believe it or not, there's a lot of guys that they're finished up. Now, the further east you go, the more crops there are in the field, but right in here, some of them are finished, so it's just been a really, really fast harvest.
Corn yield's been holding up all the way through the season?
They sure have. I mean, you know, the low that I've heard is, you know, 80 to 90 bushel per acre on some of the really, really poor sand ground, and, you know, 240 on the high side on some of the good ground. Just really a good corn crop. They're all pleased with the results and the price and the moisture, and it's just been a good year, Todd.
And last week you were, I think, full at one point that you had to shut down. Is that right?
We were. We were shut down on beans for 4 or 5 days, but we've since opened up, and we've had some good lines today, corn and beans both, and we've got a corn train on our track right now. We just loaded a bean one, so for right now, Todd, we're dug out and glad of it.
And so I bet you'll be busy bringing more crop into the elevator.
No doubt.
What are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn is 308, cash beans 893, and new crop wheat is 581.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closer Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
In just about 2 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The mayor of Danville says at least the employees of Heatcraft will have 18 months to try to plan their futures. Yesterday, more than 300 workers learned that their employer will close its Danville refrigeration products factory and consolidate its operations with a plant in Georgia. The head of the United Auto Workers Local says the closing notice was a shock, even though the acquisition of the plant by Lennox International in 1990 led to frequent rumors of consolidation at Heatcraft. Chrysler workers have walked off the job at plants in Kokomo, Indiana, and elsewhere across the country. The automaker and the United Auto Workers have failed to reach a tentative contract agreement before a union-imposed deadline. Workers at Chrysler's Belvidere, Illinois plant were already off the job under a 2-week furlough. The governor's office is defending its pace and replacing members of the State Health Facilities Planning Board. Republican Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington says it's ironic that Governor Rod Blagojevich stalled lawmakers on a health care agenda while not filling positions on the board, which approves health care building projects. A governor spokeswoman says they're being cautious about who they appoint. People in Chicago will pay 10 cents more for a bottle of water, pay higher property taxes, and shell out steeper liquor taxes under Mayor Richard Daley's proposed budget for next year. Also financing the $5.4 billion plan are higher water and sewer fees and more expensive vehicle stickers for people who drive large vehicles like SUVs. Daley unveiled his budget to aldermen at a morning meeting, calling it a last resort to ask taxpayers for more money. Budget hearings will be held, and aldermen will eventually have to approve a city spending plan. A Kentucky widow whose husband died after gallbladder surgery at a VA hospital in downstate Marion, Illinois, wants to know why the surgeon with a questioned record was allowed to practice there, and Katrina Shank is waging a legal fight to get answers. Her attorneys filed a claim against the VA looking to sift out why Dr. Jose Visaga Mendez was allowed to work at the hospital after surrendering his license in Massachusetts. Shank's 50-year-old husband, Bob, bled to death a day after surgery. Visaga Mendez resigned 3 days after, shortly before the hospital suspended inpatient surgeries because of a reported spike in post-surgical deaths. The hospital's acting chief says a panel that vetted Visaga Mendez before his hiring in Marion found no red flags. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
A little cooler today than it has been in recent days.
Yes, a strong cold front has been marching across the Midwest here over the last day and a half or so, and northwest winds aloft pulling in some fallish air, and of course, the line of showers and thunderstorms at the front now marching well off to the east, and it is going to be a little bit cooler. We have an upper-level trough of low pressure over the northern Great Lakes that actually is going to settle south into the region. And that's going to bring in some cooler air. Temperatures will be very fallish here over the next couple of days, but most of the moisture with the system is going to stay off to our north. Looks like most of it will be up into the Great Lakes, up in New England, not much shower activity here in the Midwest.
When you say fallish, you really do mean pretty cool daytime temperatures?
Definitely, and at night a little bit cool as well. It's not going to be terribly cold for this time of year, but certainly more than it has been lately, especially when you compare it to the unseasonably warm weather, the record-setting temperatures that we had over the weekend. Temperatures tomorrow will only be upper 50s, and those 50s and low 60s is as good as we can do for the rest of the week, with even a few areas hitting the upper 30s. But right now, we don't see any hard frost or freeze coming yet.
And then if we go to some warmer climes, looks like the folks in parts of Brazil will be pretty hot over the next few days, especially by the time we get to the weekend.
As we get into the weekend, hot, and one thing that is going to be thing that we'll have to watch for is, yes, it's pretty warm there, above normal temperatures, but there is some indication that maybe some cooler weather precipitation could be coming later this week and weekend into early next week. Brazil precipitation, pretty slim, but that could change next week. That's something important that we could watch. And same goes for portions of Argentina as well.
Except that their temperatures won't be nearly so
that
hot.
That is right.
Okay, and then other places around the globe we ought to check in on?
Well, Australia, same song and dance. They're still fighting dryness. The precipitation there, very spotty, not adding up to much at all there. Unfortunately, that's going to be something that we're going to be watching for, although if we do not end up with an El Nino this year, and it looks like more like a La Nina, there could be some hope for Australia to get moisture later on. China, they're going to be looking at a fairly active weather pattern, especially in the central, southern, and western areas.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoon. And that is today's report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at today's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the web. Just go to willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.